Welcome to a Friday edition of Locked On Heat. On today's show, we're talking Jimmy Butler. And guess what? We've got actual basketball being played this weekend. We'll look ahead to Miami's game versus the Spurs on Sunday.
And if you want to contribute to our upcoming written Miami Heat season preview, you can do that by visiting patreon.com/lockedonheat and clicking on the link to fill out a questionnaire. Thank you so much for listening and for subscribing. Now let's get to the show.
You are Locked On Heat, your daily Miami Heat podcast. Part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
All right, let's do this. Welcome to Locked On Heat, your daily Miami Heat podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, where we break down every news item, rumor, game, and more. My name is Wes Goldberg. I'm a credentialed writer covering the Heat and the NBA for FanSided. You can find me on Twitter at WC Goldberg.
And I'm David Ramil, credentialed NBA writer who's covered the Heat and League at large for SB Nation and FanSided. You can follow me in my writing on Twitter at DRamil13.
The Heat tip off their preseason schedule on Sunday when they play the Spurs. That'll be a good test right out of the gate. But I want to start with Jimmy Butler, who still hasn't been traded, who we've talked about all week long, David. But I'm seeing that I'm starting to see, you know, as Heat Twitter and people here and our comments and emails starting to get a little idle, maybe a little stir crazy, maybe starting to overthink this whole thing. I'm seeing concerns about his attitude, specifically about how he gets along with younger players and people in his locker room, and then his mileage, which we've heard of for months now, the concerns about, you know, at 29 years old, having played under Thibodeau for basically his entire career, the concern about his body, the wear and tear on his body. I'm sick of this stuff, honestly. Like, I don't get it. I think it is a little bit of people just overanalyzing, overthinking this. I don't think Jimmy Butler is damaged goods, and I'm starting to see, like, you know, J.E. Skeets, you know, had a tweet out there that got some traction about Jimmy Butler is basically the next Blake Griffin. And that got me thinking, and I think that's a little too far. I'm not sure I agree with that, and there's just this idea about the mileage. And look, yeah, he hasn't really played more than, what, 75 games, more than 70 games, more than twice in his career, only played all 82 games once in his career. I get it. But part of the reason the Heat trade for a guy like Jimmy Butler, the idea would be to eventually clear more space and then pair him with a second All-Star, which should lighten the load on him. And if you put him on a good team, a team with depth like Miami, you pair him with a second star, all of a sudden he doesn't have to carry the team as much. And I'm not as worried about the mileage. He doesn't feel like just damaged goods like Blake Griffin or Amari Stoudemire when, you know, after that first year in New York, or it's not quite there for me.
It's not a major injury like the ones that Blake and Amari have sustained. Mm-hmm. You know, Stoudemire's injury would have been one that would have kept him out of the league decades ago, and he was able to come back from it and play at a reasonably high level for you know, a few years. But the reality is that there is concern, though. I can understand the perspective of those fans. And I think a lot of that, though, has to do with Thibodeau's system in combination with Butler's own determined work ethic and the fact that he's somewhat obsessive about playing and playing for as long as he possibly can, making an impact on the game that way. I think that'll be a challenge for Spoelstra if that trade is consummated, explaining to Butler that we need him for a long haul and managing those minutes much more concisely than has ever happened over the course of the career. I mean, the fact that he played 59 games last year while averaging almost 37 minutes per game, he did play in 76 games the season before while also averaging 37 minutes per game. Those things they do tend to add up. And I think you have to be aware of that. You have to hope that this training staff can somehow work with Butler and try and keep him on a program to prolong his career, to make sure that he's playing more consistently and longer stretches throughout the course of the season. I think that's something that you have to watch for. And look, I think that what separates him from, again, a Blake Griffin is that there hasn't been any kind of major injury that has taken him out for seasons on end. But the mileage is a concern. Is it overstated? Perhaps. I think it can be mitigated and dealt with should Miami finalize that deal, though. So I'm not all that worried about it. As far as the attitude is concerned,
let's finish this up.
Yeah, jump ahead.
It's 38 minutes a game for basically five seasons, right? In his first two seasons, he didn't play that much. His first season, he played in 42 games, averaged 8.5 minutes per game. Doesn't count. Second season, averaged 26 minutes a game off the bench for Chicago. And then it was after that that he started to play 37, 38 games minutes per game, but he wasn't doing that for that long. And I actually brought that up on Twitter, and a lot of people hit me back up on Twitter, like, well, he's only played more minutes than Josh Richardson did last season in one season in his career. Jimmy Butler did. And I tweeted that out, and I got a lot of pushback on Twitter because, well, oh, he's always injured. He misses 30 games a year or whatever it is. It's like, but exactly like what you're saying, it's not one major injury. It's just I feel like these injuries that like these nagging things that happen to him, if you start playing him a regular amount of minutes, you're not running him through the Tibbs rotation of playing 38 minutes a game. If you take it down to 32 minutes a game, which is about average for a player of his stature at this point, 32 to 34 minutes a game, then I think that you see a lot less of that wear and tear. I think you see less of those nagging injuries throughout the year, and all of a sudden he's able to play 70-plus games in a year, no problem. And so, I don't know. I'm not a doctor. I don't play one on a podcast, but I do think that makes sense to me. We've seen that before, and if you are able, again, to pair him with somebody else, you might be able to prolong his prime a little bit. And we've seen with the Heat, just with guys like James Johnson and Deion Waiters, with Dwayne Wade, I mean, they have a history of being able to get the most out of these guys and their bodies, even if they're already hard workers like a Jimmy Butler. I mean, nobody thought that Dwayne Wade wasn't a hard worker, but you get him with some new science, with some of these facilities in Miami and things like that, and all of a sudden, you're able to get a couple more years out of these guys, so I'm not that concerned. But you wanted to talk about the attitude with his teammates, because I'm not concerned about that at all.
See, I am. I think maybe, again, it might have been overstated, but I think there's something there. There's enough evidence to show that his personality can be somewhat abrasive, and perhaps in his mind, at least, justifiably so. Because when you consider what he's done to get to this point, it's hard for anybody else to live up to that kind of standard because it's such a high one. And, you know, this is a guy who was practically homeless as a teenager, who had to earn a scholarship to Marquette, who had to prove that he was worth that position, had to earn everything, who was undrafted and got into the NBA and turned into a superstar within a few years. That doesn't come easily, and that comes through an incredible level of dedication. And when you don't match that, like Carl Anthony Towns didn't, like Andrew Wiggins perhaps didn't, then you start to see some of that abrasive nature take place. And look, I can't help but go back to that instance just a few years ago with him and Dwayne Wade both criticized the Chicago Bulls young, you know, players for not being as dedicated, not being as hard on themselves after losses, not doing enough to push that team to the next level. And I've always questioned Wade's leadership. I think we're starting to see a better, more mature, more relaxed and enjoyable version of Wade now. But that's at this tail end of his career that he recognizes as the tail end. For Butler, who's still in the heart of his career and wants to be able to make the most of whatever years he has left in the NBA, I don't think it's going to be that easy for him to just sit back and hear about Jay Rich playing video games. Like, I can understand, or I at least expect a guy like Butler to tell Jay Rich, you know, lay off the goddamn FIFA and go work out with me at 3 o'clock in the morning, you know, or something like that. And if Hassan takes a day off, he's going to hear it from Jimmy Butler. And that could cause some tension there. And that's not to say that that tension doesn't necessarily help these players take another level. But I can't help but think of, you know, something a person told me, and I've mentioned it before, and I know that's anecdotal, but, you know, there are two different types of leaders, ones that create chaos and kind of see how people, you know, pull apart and work themselves up to get to a certain level, and then others that bring people together in order to unite them and bring them together for one specific cause. I think Butler fits into that former category where they like the chaos. And we've heard Spoelstra say the same thing, that he likes chaos, he likes change, he likes, you know, kind of kneeling people to a point to see how they respond. But that's fine and good, but at the same time, you have to have some kind of a harmonious balance, because these people, they're not just professionals, they're not just, you know, playing this game. They share more time with each other than they do with any other member of their families or anybody else in their lives. And that tends to wear on you. You know, you're traveling for 15 nights on a 6-7 game road trip out west. You want to be able to have moments of camaraderie where you can trust that person, where you're not going to hear Jimmy Butler tell you, you know, after 5 away games and you're dealing with that Utah-Denver back-to-back that's so brutal for the Heat, And you don't want to hear him say, well, you know, I know we've got one day off. Let's work out during that one day off, you know, because that's how Butler is wired. That's how he's gotten to this point. And I think that could be a cause for concern. That's not to say that Butler isn't enjoyable, that he doesn't have a great personality. He's got a different, unique personality. But at the same time, I can see where a little bit of that abrasiveness could be a factor. It doesn't seem like it's a concern for Miami's front office and for Dwayne Wade, who's probably had Pat Riley's ear and has explained to him how Butler is wired. So I don't think they'd be as aggressive if they didn't have a full scouting report on what Butler's personality was.
I think it fits with what they're looking for, in fact. And I want to talk about this a little bit more, but let's take a quick break. I want to talk to you about what's going on the NFL side of the network. Locked On NFL is becoming a favorite daily NFL podcast. On Mondays, we have the local experts on the biggest stories of the week. On Tuesdays, former NFL and Miami Dolphins quarterback Sage Rosenfels joins host Matt Williamson, who's going to have some of the best voices in football on throughout the week, before making his picks on Fridays today. So if you're looking for daily NFL content, subscribe to Locked On NFL on iTunes, Google Podcasts, Spotify, or whatever you use to listen. Okay, so I hear everything you're saying, and it makes me feel even better about Jimmy Butler, because Tibbs has a reputation of working his guys really hard, right? But I don't know if he necessarily has a reputation of building the right culture. And maybe that is more on ownership than it is on him. And I think it's probably equal parts, or there's a percentage of blame to go around. But
differentiate those two, because I'm not quite sure what you mean by not creating that culture.
The Heat have that culture, right? Like, but from Mickey Arison down, there's this kind of like the Heat culture of you work hard. Basketball is your life. Spoelstra and Pat Riley have said over and over again, we're not for everyone. And there is that culture that exists there. There is a stability that exists there because of Mickey Arison and all the way down. And I think that culture thrives because of that stability and that consistency. That consistency not only in the front office, but the consistency in the messaging and everything that, and the kind of players that they attract and everything that goes along with that. In Chicago, ownership is a mess. We know that. The Derrick Rose situation was a rare situation. I think threw a wrench into that entire dynamic. I think that Tibbs has, if he were surrounded by more like-minded people and not having to also be a general manager, but could just be a head coach, but could maybe help egg on a culture that is more consistent and more suitable. But I don't know that he is. With Glenn Taylor being the owner, he's presided over some not great times in Minnesota Timberwolves history. So I don't know that there's ever been an organization's culture and stability comes from the ownership down, not necessarily with the head coach down, because it's head coach is basically middle management. So in Miami, I think Jimmy Butler would find, and this is why we've talked about Jimmy Butler coming to Miami in the first place over and over and over again over the last few months, because it makes sense. He fits the culture. And I think that even if Josh Richardson is playing Fortnite or FIFA at 11:30 p.m., Jimmy Butler, I still think, does that stuff. He just wants, when it's time to work, and for him, most times are time to work, when it's time to work, you work your butt off. And you could just see him on the court with Karl Anthony Towns and Andrew Wiggins. Wiggins just straight up taking plays off on defense. Karl Anthony Towns just like forgetting his defensive assignment. Not Towns' problem isn't physical or skill. It's that he would just forget what he was supposed to do. Now, does that happen for Miami every once in a while? Yeah, but it doesn't happen with guys like Josh Richardson and Justice Winslow, who are probably our two best defenders. It doesn't. Yeah. We love what we're already seeing out of Bam Adebayo, specifically his motor, which is what we keep hearing about. Is Hassan Whiteside a problem? Yeah, but he's not going to be a problem if we send him out to get Jimmy Butler in the first place. So, and Hassan Whiteside, by the way, is going to be a problem everywhere. So, sorry. Like, I think that the issue that Jimmy Butler would have in most other locker rooms, in a vacuum, I'm worried about it. But if you put him in the Heat culture, it almost just blends right in. And I don't have an issue with it at all, because the Heat are going to sign and attract players who want that anyway. And Jimmy Butler is just a really good version of the player that they already want and already have, you know?
Yeah, I mean, look, I understand. I know that partly why I'm proposing this is, you know, slightly to be a devil's advocate here.
Appreciate
because
that.
I do understand why there are some concerns. I do think that the marriage of Butler and the Heat would work out pretty well, though. So, I mean, I do have to acknowledge that. But I do also understand the concerns, and I think that there's enough smoke there to believe that there's fire and that he does have somewhat of an antagonistic personality. And sometimes that works and sometimes it doesn't.
I wonder if, you know, the fact that Dwayne Wade is also there could help things. It could just sort of soften the edges around Jimmy Butler where...
I think,
you know,
so.
Where maybe not, like, Butler, like, we've heard a lot, and you've talked to Jimmy Butler before, but it's, you know, he is antagonistic. He is just kind of like this battleground kind of conversationalist. And I wonder if, you know, he says something at Josh Richardson, and Josh is like, dude, that was, like, really aggressive. What are you talking about? And Dwayne Wade can kind of come over and be like, that's just how he talks, dude.
And one of my interactions with Butler in a locker room in Orlando at an early morning practice, and they were having media availability before their shoot around, obviously a tip shoot around at 10 in the morning. He's there in dress clothes because he wasn't available to play that night. And Jeff Teague leans back on his chair and has been leaning back for some reason and falls loudly in the middle of my interview with Butler. And you hear Butler openly deriding Jeff Teague and telling him, you know, all that shit you be talking and you get what you deserve. And that's the kind of thing where, look, I don't know the background story to that. I wasn't about to ask him, you know, what does that mean exactly? Why are you mocking your teammate? But at the same time, look, it could have just been a somewhat playful thing. Teague's expression didn't show that it was playful. It just kind of shows that, you know, he can be a little bit of a caustic personality. And maybe that works. I think you're absolutely right, though. And that's a good point to bring up that Dwayne Wade would probably have a soothing effect and telling him, you know, calm down a little bit. That's not going to work. And, you know, from Wade's perspective, he doesn't want the shine taken off his not so much farewell tour. You know, he doesn't want Butler's personality or to have like an explosive effect on the season when it's going to take away from the potential to go out on a very positive note here. So I imagine that there'll probably be some conversations off the floor from between Wade and Butler explaining to him, you know, this is what you do, this is how you do it. And I think Butler is open and amenable to those kind of conversations.
And look, I mean, there's a reason why, like, first of all, this is a locker room that's been dealing with Udonis Haslam for the last several years. So I don't think that they're scared of anybody. So I'm not going to be concerned or like, I don't think they're going to, anybody that's super aggressive. I mean, this is a locker room that's had Udonis Haslam and James Johnson in it for the last 3 years.
Yeah. You know, I wonder if UD's hung out with Butler before, like through Wade, obviously. Right? You know, I haven't seen them in travel pictures, but maybe they have different social circles that way. But I can imagine.
He gets some Subway. He's a Chipotle guy, actually.
Is he?
Yeah, lunch. I think his lunch is a chicken and brown rice.
Oh, that's right.
At Chipotle
That's right. That's right. You get to they get to know his order wherever he goes.
Yeah, yeah.
So maybe he'll have that in common with lifetime member. Or he's anything like a Chipotle card holder, Kelly Olynyk.
Also, you right? You. you love Chipotle, right?
It's fine.
Fine. I thought I remember you telling me. So I think that you and Kelly Olynyk and Jimmy Butler should create like a little club, Chipotle club.
I mean, I'm happy with that. Look, I appreciate Olynyk's ability to eat a burrito in 4 bites. I think that's what he's best known for. But he does love Chipotle. So
that makes a lot of sense. Hopefully we don't send Kelly Olynyk out because he'll need that. Jimmy Butler will need to know where the best Chipotles are and when the A-team is working and stuff like that. So.
Back to Haslam, though, I think he'll be able to get a rein on that locker room, too. That's another factor. Like, he is the coach/player, and no one's going to mess with him. Right. So I think if Butler gets to be a little bit too much, I imagine UD being able to kind of rein him in a little bit and say, hey, hold on, you just got here. You don't want to do this. And, I mean, look, and Butler, I don't think Butler's ever been in this kind of situation before. You could point maybe to his 1 year in Minnesota. But even that, he was coming into these young players that were hoping to be the future of the franchise. That shift, that focus shifts completely when Butler's added to the team. This is not so much about Butler, the superstar of this team, but so much about him being inserted into the Heat culture. So as cliche as it might seem, and maybe we use that as a catch-all to mask any flaws in the Heat system, I think there is a sacrifice of self that is understood as being what works best. I can't get past that fact that during media day to a player, it almost seemed like they had been coached to deliver the same response. Minutes don't matter. We don't care about this sort of thing. We don't care about playing time because all that does matter is winning. And if that means, you know, sacrificing some playing time and knowing somebody else is going to come in and spell some minutes, That's what you do. Like, mm-hmm. and then, you know, I asked Tyler about this. I go, but people do care about minutes. He's like, of course, it's the NBA. You want to play. You want to play for as long as you can. But again, there's that overall goal. And I think Butler would come in and see that that's the approach, that it's more about team success than anything else. And he can get his as an individual and succeed as an individual while still contributing to this team-wide culture.
And knowing that he's going to be probably playing in the playoffs in the Eastern Conference, so I think he'd be a little bit more open to taking his minutes per game down during the regular season if it meant getting the best version of Jimmy Butler in the postseason. All right, let's talk about this game on Sunday. We've got actual basketball being played. It's preseason, but it's still basketball. Sunday at San Antonio. We'll talk about that next. But first, Locked On NBA is here for you every day, not just Tuesdays with us. Every Monday, get the local experts on the biggest stories and then stay with Locked On NBA all week long with daily 30-minute episodes on everything going on in the league. Follow free on your favorite podcast app or tell your smart speaker to play podcast Locked On NBA. All right, the Heat are playing basketball on Sunday, David. They play the San Antonio Spurs in the first game of the preseason. First of all, yes, it's only preseason basketball.
There's a game before that, and we should alert our listeners in case they have a chance. There is the red, white, and pink scrimmage to help the Miami Cancer Institute at Baptist Health South Florida. That's an open scrimmage at FAU. So I believe tickets are free to that, but it's a good opportunity to see their players in their first action. And, you know, they've been in camp for a week, so it's a good chance for any fans that might be available in South Florida to head out there and see the players before they head out to San Antonio the following day.
Great, great point. And, so you got the scrimmage. You got the game on Sunday. We don't know if Jimmy Butler will be part of those games, but we do know what the Spurs look like. I think this is going to be a really good test for Miami coming out of the gates.
I'm curious that you say that because I was looking ahead. You know, you told me last night you wanted to preview the game, and I kind of challenged that because, well, it's a preseason. But I was looking at it from the perspective of what is San Antonio like? You're going to look at this San Antonio preseason game, and of course, you know, obviously you're not going to get any consistent minutes or anything like that. But what is this roster? I mean, you're looking at it. You know, for the first time in 30 years, it seems like no Tim Duncan, no Manu Ginobili, no Tony Parker. You've traded Kawhi. The heart of your team now is LaMarcus Aldridge. And you've got DeMar DeRozan trying to figure out how to play alongside guys like Aldridge. DeJounte Murray is your point guard there. Patty Mills is your point guard. Paul Gasol wants to be a starter even at age 500. I don't know. You know, it's an interesting thing because we tend to think, and I see your point, you tend to think of San Antonio as this bastion for consistency, but this is a very different roster than it's been in the past, even with a guy like Aldridge and Mills that have been there for a few years.
I hear what you're saying.
Okay.
But I think they're going to be better this year than they were last year.
Whoa. Well, that's fair. I mean, with Kawhi in and out.
Yeah, they didn't have Kawhi last year. Right?
Like Nine games.
Yeah. So, yeah, they didn't have Kawhi last year. Whole thing ran through LaMarcus Aldridge. You basically, like, you're not replacing DeMar DeRozan. You're not replacing Kawhi with DeMar DeRozan. You're replacing nobody with DeMar DeRozan. DeMar DeRozan is an upgrade over what this team had last year. He is. And you've got a Rudy Gay who is apparently healthy now, who was good for them last year when he was playing. Deontay Murray and Patty Mills were both better than Tony Parker last year, and it wasn't close. You're missing something with Manu Ginobili.
Oh, and Danny Green, too. Sorry.
Yeah, you're missing. Danny Green was, like, not good for the last 2 years. Like, that was kind of like not so well kept secret. You add Lonnie Walker, who I think is going to be really good as a rookie. Jakob Poeltl is better than any backup center that they've had in quite a while.
He's lost a lot of weight, supposedly. Seems like he's coming. Yeah, he's coming to camp. From what I saw, he's coming to camp in pretty good shape.
Davis Bertans is a nice stretch four when you move Aldridge down to the five. I think the team is deep. They got Marco Bellinelli back, who was really good last year for the 76ers.
As long as he's out of the East, I don't care.
Yeah, right? I like this Spurs roster kind of a lot, and DeRozan fits what they've been doing over the last couple of years, like quietly embracing the mid-range game with a guy like LaMarcus Aldridge and even Rudy Gay and Tony Parker and Manu, who are good in the mid-range as well. It works here, and there's enough of the same guys that I'm not too worried about the turnover. Like, Danny Green just wasn't playing as much anymore. Like, this is kind of it's kind of the same group, and I think as far as it being a good test, there's enough newness here that they're going to be trying to, like, DeMar DeRozan is such a big new piece that you're trying to work out what you have with him. And they're at positions where I think Miami needs to be tested. Specifically, you've got a guy, at least for now, like guys like Josh Richardson and Justice Winslow, who could use a nice test against DeMar DeRozan, who's going to be out there basically to it's going to be a revenge tour for him this year. So I kind of like them going against him right away. I like the idea of guys like Whiteside and Olynyk and Bam being tested against a guy like LaMarcus Aldridge when he plays the five, which he probably will for quite a bit of these games. Or even Pau Gasol, who's, you know, a savvy vet who can do things with the ball in his hands. A preseason game is a preseason game, but this is about as good as a test outside of the Warriors that I think you're going to get. And even a team like the Warriors or even the Rockets, they're probably going to be resting their guys for most of these preseason games. A team like San Antonio is actually going to try, I think at least, to play these guys for the first few preseason games so that they can get a feel for each other.
Yeah, that makes sense. I mean, you probably won't get the same kind of resting of players that you did in years past because there has to be a need to establish some kind of rhythm and chemistry. So you'll probably see San Antonio's players get a little bit more playing time, probably more playing time than Miami's. And you know, I'm glad you brought up Whiteside because there was a piece from Barry Jackson, I think, came out today. I'm not sure if you saw it, about how he was improving over the summer, that he's hired a trainer for the first time in his career.
This is Whiteside?
Yes.
Yeah, I mean,
not Barry Jackson. I don't think he's hired a trainer.
No, maybe not. But Barry Jackson, was that not something we all knew, that Whiteside was working out at DBC, the same place as Dwayne Wade? Like, he's posted on Instagram. It's not like, look, Barry Jackson, great at breaking news, but that's not new news.
Yeah, he also had training sessions with Andre Drummond and Greg Monroe. Maybe not exactly the best, because again, both of those guys similar to Whiteside and that they're not indicative of the modern day center. But he said that he also trained with the Pittsburgh Steelers, Antonio Brown, running in the sand, increasing his mobility so that he can guard. Yeah, he wants to guard guys on the perimeter. He says he's up for the challenge. So I'm curious to see if that's something we'll see flashes of in the preseason.
I think Whiteside is going to have a standout year. I think he's going to bounce back completely. I think everything, all the concerns that anybody's ever had about Hassan Whiteside, especially people in Minnesota, I think you're not going to see that be an issue at all this year. I think that Whiteside is going
to
bounce back.
It sounds like you're trying
to be an all-star.
Convince Wolves fans.
Wolves fans, or maybe Wolves front office people listening to this podcast. I don't know. I think Whiteside's going to have, I think he's going to be the best center in the league this year, and I don't think it's going to be close. He's going to be way better than Towns. That's for sure.
I like your commitment to the hard sell here. I just don't, I'm not sure I necessarily buy it. Oh, look, actually, you know what? I'm optimistic. I'm optimistic that he's going to learn this year.
Hey, it is all about the mobility in the hips right now. That's the big thing in the NBA that people are doing. It's all about the hips. It's all, like, I talked with Victor Oladipo last year. I changed my body. I was like, what did you change? And he just kept saying, my hips, man. Like, he just kept saying the hips is where it's all at. It's not only mobility, but more explosion.
Explosive, yeah.
Yeah, it's all that stuff. And yeah, I mean, Whiteside doesn't play like Victor Oladipo does, but if he's working on that mobility, if he's doing those things, and if he's working with guys like Antonio Brown, who best route runner in the NFL, right? He must have great hips. If he's working in DBC with a guy where Oladipo got his hips in gear, I am pretty optimistic with Whiteside. It's just, you know, I'm interested to see what he's got, and this will be good on Sunday to at least see what he could do, because we know San Antonio does a lot of things on the perimeter. Their entire offense is based on the perimeter. Even if they're trying to get mid-range shots, that's where it starts, right? So,
Well, for our listeners that didn't get a chance to watch Summer League play, this is also an opportunity to see some of the guys at the end of the roster trying to make an impact in limited minutes. Watch out for Duncan Robinson, who you had a chance to speak to in Sacramento during Summer League. He's a guy who has some explosive ability. He can also shoot from long range. Hopefully he'll get some playing time, but also maybe an opportunity to see Bam and his range of work, because we keep hearing this buzz for the first few days of camp, and I heard it around that media day. This is a guy that a lot of people think has taken a leap over the summer, that he's ready to show that he has the talent that made him the 14th pick in the draft, you know, from Power Island a few years ago. So Was it 12th pick or 14th?
14th. You got it.
It was 14th. Okay. So I think we're going to see a lot more of that. If a trade does take place and Whiteside is eventually jettisoned from the roster, then I can imagine Bam is going to be the centerpiece of the future for this team.
You and I are hearing very similar things when it comes to Bam. He is ready. And Miami, Whiteside being the best center in the league this season, notwithstanding, the Heat need to figure out a way to play Bam. They do. Like, he is ready. Like, they need to get him on the court. So, that'll be interesting to see. Like, that's the other part of these preseasons, the rotation.
Yeah.
Who's the starting five? Who are the first few guys off the bench? It's important to watch. So, that'll be Sunday versus the Spurs. We've also got the scrimmage in Boca Raton at FAU.
Oh, yeah. 5 p.m. Eastern, and we get to hear John Crotty and doing a color analysis alongside longtime play-by-play man Eric Reed. So, that should be a fun listen to. I mean, it'll be hard. Yeah, Tony Fiorentino, I got a chance to talk to him at Media Day. He's still a little upset about the whole process, to be honest with you.
Really?
Oh, yeah.
We'll take that conversation offline here. Well, that's all we have for today. Thank you for listening. Remember, we've got our mailbag on Monday. We experimented a little bit with iTunes and leaving your mailbag questions in the reviews there. You could still do that. Go for it. Leave a 5-star review on iTunes. Say something nice about us and then leave the question in the review. But you can also give us mailbag questions by email, lockedonheat@gmail.com, or on Twitter. At lockedonheat is the Twitter handle, or you can use the hashtag AskLOHeat. We've got a bunch of ways for you to send mailbag questions. And look, we're coming into crunch time here. The season's starting to begin. We've got preseason. Regular season's around the corner. We've got all of our preview stuff coming out. Now's a great time for mailbag questions, especially with all this Jimmy Butler nonsense happening. And as a reminder, if you want to contribute to our upcoming written Miami Heat season preview, you can do that by visiting patreon.com/lockedonheat and clicking on the questionnaire. We'll catch you next time. Thanks for joining me, David.
You got it, Wes.
Thanks for listening. One last thing before you go. If you run a company and you're unhappy with your return from advertising online or in print, try something new and advertise on a podcast here at Locked On Heat. This is a great opportunity for local South Florida businesses to connect with Heat fans. More and more people are listening every day. 50% of U.S. households listen to a podcast, and 1 in 5 Americans between ages 18 and 49 listen to at least one a month. That's according to Nielsen. Thanks to the rise in mobile options from iTunes to Spotify and more, to your smart speaker at home, there's more ways than ever to listen to podcasts. Now is the time to get in. Be ahead of your competition and start advertising on a podcast with us. Our rates are reasonable and based on the number of listens, so you get what you pay for, with numbers to back it up. Whereas print, TV, and radio ads are a shot in the dark. You have no idea who is reading, watching, or listening. That's not the case with podcasts. If you want to reach engaged, passionate, and knowledgeable South Floridians, this is the way to do it. For more information on next steps, email us at lockedonheat@gmail.com, and we could be talking about your company on the next episode.